So what they've had me do now is I'm doing two different plans, one kind of as a subdivision already is, and then one with the...
All right, we are going to get started.
I want to talk to you.
So I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. Personal note, my youngest turns 21 today. So Molly, she's in Annapolis, and I hope she's having a great day. And I must be old if she's 21. So we'll start as we always start, as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, Yenny. Good morning.
Okay.
Turn that on.
No. Touch it. Side.
So we'll start with public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items either on today's agenda or not on today's agenda. I see Brenda Dreyer heading to the microphone.
Thank you.
Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
Brenda, tell us what the good word is in Story County.
Well, you know, hot off the presses, the unemployment rate for December came in this morning. And when I saw the numbers, I quickly emailed Supervisor Sanders and said, I think I should share those with the board as well as the public today. So on December 2017, we ended the year in Story County at 1.5%. So we maintained from November to December. I think everybody's aware in November we were, as an MSA, Ames was the lowest in the country, and certainly Story County was one of the lowest in the country, but not the lowest in Iowa. So we actually ended the year the lowest in Iowa. The folks that were up in Northwest Iowa that typically compete with us for that honor actually increased from November to December. So the news is that we have the lowest unemployment rate. And interestingly enough, the other thing that I would share to you is that we don't have to go too far away to encounter a much higher unemployment rate. So Marshall County ended the year at 5.3%. And that's an astonishing number. And I'll be digging a little bit further into that to see what is driving that number up. But I'm telling myself that I maybe made one of the best decisions I've ever made when we worked with Iowa Workforce Development to arrange for a job fair in Marshall County on February 13th. So everybody's saying, why are we doing a Story County job fair in Marshall County? So we're actually hosting with them. Typically, they're always higher than us, but this is astonishingly higher than us. So on February 13th, we're taking a lot of our employers over, and hopefully even including Story County, over to actually have a booth at that job fair. It'll be from 10 until 1 at the Marshalltown Community College. And so we're very excited. Almost every employer that's going to be joining us is actively hiring a large number of people. Not that the county needs a lot of folks, but I know that you are anticipating a couple openings. So it was good news to share. And again, I think it's a plus and a minus when we have low unemployment, but certainly excited maybe to get some of those Marshall County folks employed. And that brings up some transportation discussions, Loris, but again, just thought I'd share.
Outstanding. Brenda, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for everything you do for economic development in the county and workforce in the county, and we're sure lucky to have you working on our behalf. Anything else?
Just to clarify, that was Brenda Dreyer, who is with the Ames Economic Development Commission and contracts with us for workforce and for development, economic development.
Perfect.
Just for the record.
Outstanding. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else wishing to address us on any topic today? Seeing none, we'll go to agency reports, Veterans Affairs. Brett with Commissioners present.
Hi, Brett.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Brett.
I want to thank Brenda Dreyer, too, for all the work she's doing with Home Base Iowa.
Yeah, you see we're bearing fruits already? Kind of nice.
Yeah, we got our first applicant in process, right? Which is outstanding.
Yep. And looking at the report that Brenda sent me, We had 61. I mean, since going back to September, we've had 61 folks interested in Homebase Iowa as candidates. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, well, we'll try to start converting more and more of those people that are interested into people who are actually coming. But I think we've got a couple coming from North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, that are now moving through the process and can call Story County home.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, you know, with your daughter in Annapolis, I know she's going to have a great birthday, you know, being in the Navy and all.
Oh, she loves every day, Brett. Actually, she's getting on a bus this morning, so she played basketball for the Naval Academy, and they play at Bucknell, so she'll be in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania for a lot of her birthday. And Lewisburg is about as exciting as it sounds. So, probably a good place for her to have her 21st birthday as a dad, not wanting her to get in any trouble.
Exactly.
That's a great cake.
Exactly, living the dream. All right. I want to report to the board for the quarter, October 1st, of 17 to December 31st. And greetings from the Commission of Veterans Affairs. We have two commissioners with us today, Pat Pekin, who's our chair, and Lynn Lathrop. Also in December, Army Sergeant Russell Bauer joined the commission, bringing the commission back up to five members. So I want to thank the board and all who is involved in with this election.
I think Russell's going to be an outstanding addition to the commission. I'm excited to see as he acclimates in and brings his voice. He's a little different age demographic than a few of our commissioners, and so it'll be exciting to see what he brings to the commission.
Yep. Yep. So I want to thank Deb for her work in siphoning through the applications, and Pat coming in, time that he spent, and interviews, and you too, Rick, for everything you guys did to bring us back up to that number. During the quarter, we assisted five veterans for county VA benefits. Three came in for rent, which is a total of $1,700. And two came in for utilities assistance, $762.82, for a grand total of $2,462.82. However, during the quarter, we also interviewed, counting those folks, 328 veterans and counting surviving spouses for eligibility for federal VA benefits and state, really. 26 who served during World War II came in. 24, Korea, our biggest number, 128 for Vietnam. Those are our newly retired, or some getting close to retirement, veterans. 19 who served during Persian Gulf. And 31, the Cold War, peacetime. 15, Iraq or Afghanistan. 45, surviving spouses. And 40 were enrolled in VA health care during that time. We also did a little bit of outreach during the quarter. Around 12 days were spent working with veterans and surviving spouses and staff in our nursing homes, assisted living, and county jail. November the 17th, we had our annual Story County Supermarket of Veterans Benefits. We broke a record this time with 172 veterans and surviving spouses in attendance that day. Some of the things we did, 25 flu shots, 46 haircuts, and filed 28 claims in a matter of 6 hours.
Wow.
So those all weren't Story County. You also had some out-of-county vets.
We have other counties that aren't doing this kind of thing. They just kind of come over to ours. And thanks, Marty, for being there.
I tell you what, it was, you know, I had heard all the good things, and then I was just overwhelmed by how many people that came. I mean, frankly, it was a day that people carved out and said, I will not miss this, and build the place.
It's growing every year, hadn't it, Brett?
Yeah. I mean, our record before that was 151. This year we had a little bit of a draw with our Vietnam books, or Vietnam pens and certificates, and I have all three of those things in my office now. So veterans,
do you have a count on how many of those books you've given away?
I do. And I got that in here somewhere.
Yes, you do.
Also on October the 21st, we hosted a PTSD program
It was open to the public. It was at the library. We had 25 in attendance, and we had two dogs from Puppy Jake. And these dogs were amazing. If you ever get the chance to just to see what they teach these dogs. I mean, the one trainer that was there, what they do is they do as much training as possible, and then when they figure out what veteran's going to get and what that veteran's disabilities are, then they tweak that dog for those disabilities. And on this particular one, the veteran wasn't able to pick things up off the floor. And I remember the trainer telling me he had to, you know, when he threw something on the floor, the dog would pick it up for him. So finally, you know, his wife was saying, finally I got you to pick stuff up off the floor, you know. But this dog would actually jump up and hit a power door, the little button. He would jump up and actually hit that and pick up your billfold. The guy says, ask me to throw my billfold on the floor, and he picked it up and gave it to me. A little wet, but.
I have a question about the promotion of it, okay? Because I noticed it that there was a brief in the newspaper, okay?
Yeah.
And so did you send that out then?
No, I believe NOMNY did.
Okay, so where I'm headed with this is that in 2018, the more that the various offices and departments can work maybe with outreach to see that we get a lot of information out, and I just wasn't sure whether you had sent that to outreach to ask them to send it out, or who had sent out.
Lisa hadn't just invited me to this program.
Right.
And so it would have came from NOMNY as far as advertisement.
Right? Okay. In the future, would this be something that you might be able to? You got the invite from NOMNY. I know it was their program.
Yeah.
It was open to the public. And would it be possible to share that in advance with people so that it could be sent out on social media, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't recall if there was a flyer, but if there was, we have a bulletin board in our office, and then we put it. It might have been put on our website. I just don't remember. But yeah, we'll try to do better on advertising.
It looked like it was great. I mean, I saw that and I circled it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to come. But
okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. In our newsletter, November the 6th, we mailed out 2,943 newsletters and emailed 699, and then we sent a few to the American Legion and American Legions in the county, the VFWs, and then we have one Vietnam Veterans of America service organization. So we got, as well as Heartland, got some down there. And then we also, you know, we do this ahead of time so that when we do an outreach, we can ask the veterans, did you get one of these? I mean, and so we were able to hand some out and then get those folks on our mailing list for the next time. A training, Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs, we had our fall training, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Aaron and I were at all three of those days, and then our commission. I believe we had 100% of our commissioners down there for a one-day training October 17th when we had that. Vietnam books. Okay. During the quarter, 90 Vietnam books were issued, bringing the total issued to 213. But during the last quarter, we had issued 123, and so we sent that check down for $1,230. So currently we have a little under 300 right now.
And they're keeping us stockpiled with books, so as we get lower on books, they send us more books?
Yeah, I mean, looking at what we have for an inventory, originally we're supposed to get 50% of our allocation. I can't see that I'm going to need. I can't see that I'm going to need more books.
Okay.
I'm just not seeing it. Plus, we're missing a lot of people. But, I mean, we got a book at every Legion post, every public library, every school library.
Good.
Giving them out to the veterans. The numbers are kind of slowing down a little bit, but we did pretty good at our, you know, at our outreach program. But we're a little under 300 right now. Let's go another quarter, and I can give you a better idea maybe towards the end of the fiscal year if we're going to need more. But then also on donations, we actually did two truckloads to the Iowa Veterans Home. We did our original one truckload, you know, from the month of November from the treasurer's office. And then after we took that over, we got even more than what we took over for the second time. So we ended up doing two. And then also got about a truckload of coffee donated to us. And I found a unit in Kosovo, an aviation unit out of the Boone Air Guard, and so that coffee is over there right now. And all that was EAG, they got a new coffee maker, and so all the coffee they had was. A couple other things that I gave the board this morning. This is kind of fun. The Veterans Affairs page hit report goes for the whole year. And you can see on the pages the different items that we have. Where you see unique page views, that just counts them once. So if you look at the first one, we had 32 people, but they hit it 52 times. The bounce rate just means, like the one where you see 100%, that means they just went to the Iowa Veterans Home page. So 25 people visit there. That's the only place that they went, and they 100% left. It gives you the average time on each on the page. And so just kind of a fun report. Kind of sees maybe where we're doing really good at. Some of those are huge. The forms and application, 1,092. People were there. Of course, I was there a couple of times. But not, you know, and Melanie helped me with this, and so we go there and check things out from time to time, so our numbers are on there. I guess if you have any questions on this, contact IT, because I really don't know a lot of this, but I just thought it would be interesting. And then also, the other form that I gave you there shows about 18 months of data. Of course, it, on the left it shows last FY with the totals and the averages for all the different things that we do, just some of the different things that we do. And then, of course, at the bottom shows our budget. So monthly, this is a report that I give to the commission monthly, and they can see where our budget is running at the bottom. And you can see so far for this fiscal year, we're averaging 116. However, November's biked that a little bit with the people we see in the office as well as the outreach. So November and May spikes it up a little bit, but that's just how we count this, folks.
I have a question about the number of interviews going back to fiscal year 17, for example. So for the total year, the interviews were 1,108 of veterans and or their spouses, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are those individual or unique, or sometimes do you...
We count those every time.
Okay.
So there might be somebody... there's a few that we would work that we would just see one time, maybe, but a lot of times we're seeing them more than once.
Okay.
I have a veteran that's at the nursing home in Zering. I've seen him last Friday. I need to go see him again.
Sure.
After we run down a lot of documents, and so Thursday I'm going to be back up to him. So we can't. So those are being counted every time that we spend time with a veteran or surviving spouse. So you can kind of see the ups and downs there in different months, and so far it seemed like we're doing pretty good. December was a low month for some reason. 56.
So the only question I have, Brett, and this is kind of a facetious question, but it's how I view the world, and it shouldn't come as any shock to anybody. So we did 1,108 interviews, and 818 of them were male, and 275 were female, so that's 1,093. And so I'm just wondering what the other 15 were. So 1,108 minus 1,093 leaves us with some that don't fall into either male or female.
That's pretty interesting.
It's just a number thing. It's just the way I view the world. So it adds up for us in FY18 so far, but it doesn't add up in FY17.
Yeah. I don't know why that is, but another thing I wanted to tell you a little bit, I told you about the veterans home. I got just a little bit of information here. It might be pretty interesting. We used to have 24 of our county veterans living there and surviving spouses. Also, Gold Star families are eligible. We have less than a dozen right now, and it's been that way for several years. I don't know. I really don't know why. I have met people in Ames that they know Iowa has a Marshalltown. They know Iowa has a veterans home. They just don't know it's in Marshalltown. Believe it or not. But anyway, right now their current census over there is 512, which I'll go back like 10 years. It used to be in the 700s. So we're not that, even though our numbers have dropped. Everybody's numbers have dropped, so they're staying in the community longer, maybe.
We're finding more and more community-based retirement options for people too.
Yeah, that might be what's going on. So there's 512, 60 of those residents being at the residential level care. Their current waiting list, approximately, they have 30 for the nursing home. Level care. They had 100 during the 2017. Now these numbers don't quite add up either. They're rigged for you. But during 2017, they had 102 admissions. However, they had 137 deaths. But the people living there went up. So I'm not sure on that one.
Just births. Aren't we having a lot of births at the
And other thing that's kind of interesting, you know, they're seeing World War II. You know, they got World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and they even have Persian Gulf over there. The youngest one, 33, oldest is 102. Now with that many, December 2nd, they had their Christmas party over there, which is one of the days that we delivered. They had four Santa Clauses to cover that many people. Now, the kids were kind of confused a little bit, but they had the residents really had a good time with that.
That's so outstanding. Questions for Brett?
Lays it out there. It's outstanding. The fact that I feel better every time you hear and you see the numbers going through that we went to the trouble of bringing Aaron in to help him out because he really needed it.
And clerical support. Right, so part of the impetus for moving our office is getting some clerical support for Brett, and I think all of that has really helped us to be able to not only see more veterans, but to spend more in-depth time with those veterans.
Right, but just like I'm here right now, I mean, before, I put a clothes sign up on the door, you know, and a veteran drives over from Zering, and
right.
Not too happy.
Not there, right.
So now we have somebody that's there when I'm not there, or if I'm at nursing homes, or that kind of thing. But, you know, one thing about this website, and I kind of look at where we're taking hits at on that, is those are phone calls we're not getting now. I mean, I don't have phone calls listed on here. I'm not sure what it is, but it seems like the phone's ringing all the time. But, you know, 25 people got a question. They go on there, get their answer. They're not making a phone call to us. I don't know out of all that how many people are actually making appointments, but they're getting their aunt, you know. Mm-hmm. By the time they call up, you've got one question.
Right.
Sure. Absolutely. So, Board, I think we all know this, but it's important to note. that Brent working for our commission is the envy of the rest of the state. I mean, there's other counties, and our commissioners know this, there's other counties that would like to model themselves after Story County and our director who have trouble doing that. So, Brett, we're really fortunate to have you and appreciate the work you do. And for the commission, we are so excited about the work our commission does and really appreciate how deeply you care about our veterans in Story County and how you always make sure that we're pushing in the right directions. So thank you to both of you guys.
Thank you, Brad.
Absolutely. Have a great day. All right, next time is consideration of minutes from January 16th.
Move to approve.
Any notations?
No, I already made.
Perfect. Anything you want to note for the record?
No.
Okay. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions don't have any today. How about that? Consideration of claims for the 25th.
That's no, right.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda board.
Move as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Public hearing item. Second consideration of ordinance 268, which we did first consideration last week. This is amending certain boundaries of the official zoning map of Story County as we talk about Cameron Estates 3rd edition.
I don't have a presentation for you. I gave that on the 16th.
Yep.
We have not received any additional comments from the general public. We have to answer any questions
okay.
about the rezoning. The subdivision plan was approved by the board last week with the condition that the easement information be shown on the plat, and that information has been provided.
Super. And so we're going to we'll talk about as part of this, while it's not part of the rezoning, in digging into the decision we made last week to do the plat, which is done. We also found that our own ordinances are pretty clear on this and say that the subdivider shall provide and dedicate to the county an easement along each side of the stream. So as I understand it, our civil attorney, Ethan Anderson, is working with the attorney for Cameron Estates, which I think is Brian Teresi, and we're going to get that worked out. I just want to note for the record that we are going to follow what our ordinances say. We'll have internal conversations about what that means for the future, but we're going to follow that. And again, that doesn't have anything to do with the rezoning, but I think it's important to note here. Okay? So, rezoning. Questions for Jerry on any of that?
None.
All right, let's open the public hearing and see if there's anyone who would like to address Ordinance 268. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. So, board, we got a couple options. We can pass on second reading instead of third reading. Now, last week we talked about the possibility of passing it second reading and waiving the third reading and going ahead and making it effective. Jerry, do you have anything that you'd weigh in on that?
We have not received any comments for or against. And so the next, State Law says the board is to consider it for three considerations, but you can waive second or third. We would support a waiving of that third consideration, which would be January 30th.
Yeah.
That's entirely up to the board.
Entirely up to the board, yep.
I would move passage of ordinance, second reading and passage of ordinance number 268 for the rezoning in Cameron Estates 3rd edition and waiving the third reading.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to go ahead and pass 268, waive the third reading, which would, if passed, make it final today. Further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Ordinance 268 passes, amending zoning for Cameron Estates 3rd edition, and that is final now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Morning, Amelia.
Good morning.
Hi, Amelia.
How are
Let me introduce what we're doing here. So now we're to additional items. We've moved on from public hearings. We're going to have discussion and consideration of Resolution 1873, which is Hilltop Prairie Residential Parcel Subdivision.
Yeah.
Amelia.
So, like you said, Hilltop Prairie Residential Parcel Subdivision, the applicant is Tyrone Gustafson. He is also the property owner.
Okay.
And it's his brother that will be purchasing and building a house on the additional lot that will be created. We're in Howard Township, south of Story City. It's A1 Agricultural. So this is the proposed division. I've tried to make a mock-up. It's not exact. But you can see we have a 35-acre parcel being divided once. to create an additional lot up here in the northern area of the parcel. This lot will be 2.74 net acres. We require 1 acre to build the dwelling. The current land use, there's some ground in CRP, there's some pasture and grass area. There's some natural area and floodplain down in this southeastern portion of the property that's not going to be disturbed. There's some timber that also won't be disturbed by the construction of the dwelling. This is the plat. It was in your packet. I know it's hard to see. I just like to include it in case there are questions. So a little bit of background, this 35-acre parcel was actually created in 2002 when it was split in a couple times off, and then there was a house constructed on it, which is the current house, the current property owner built it. There was an easement associated with the plat to provide access to this parcel, Parcel F. The easement runs down and across because Parcel F became landlocked with the division.
Right.
Parcel D also appears to take access from this existing drive up here, which is where proposed Lot 2 will also take access. So there is a shared access easement shown on the plat in accordance with our ordinance. Some surrounding land uses. So again, here's the subject property. You've got three subdivisions to the north. They're the Matteson subdivisions. There's 17 lots and 9 dwellings. There's also a good number of parcels within a half mile, 20 of 61 that have dwellings, and 11 parcels that would meet requirements in the A1 agricultural zoning district to have a dwelling constructed. You can also see here to the west, Doolittle Prairie is located here. And this is its location relative to Story City. So it's about a mile and a three quarters to the north in Roland. Story City, since it's in within 2 miles, they waived their right to review and have provided us with the resolution doing so. Here's some site photos. We're looking south on the subject property. You can see the timber back here. Grass is mainly the land use pasture area. This is looking east on 140th, again, the tree line. I'm told the dwelling will be built behind that, kind of in the grassier area. This is looking east on 140th Lane, which is where they will be taking access. Here's the existing drive, the two houses to the east here. You can see there's two houses across the street as well on 140th Lane. This is looking east from 560th at the subject property, which is a higher traffic road. And here's the existing dwelling down here south across 560th, and they have an access off 560th. Here's the applicable regulations for residential parcel subdivisions. They meet all of these, so I'm not going to go through them unless you have questions. We did wrap this for interagency review. Story County Engineer reviewed the access, noted that they will need a right-of-way permit for work in the right-of-way or a drive permit if they're going to be expanding that. I believe they have already obtained a driveway permit to do some work on the driveway. They have submitted their septic application. The county floodplain manager noted that there is floodplain on the property. Again, there's no development plan for that area, though. And we know that there's a shed that we don't have a permit for on the property. But they have plans to move that, so we're going to work with them when they move it. We sent notice on January 16th, 2018. Sorry about that. This year. And then we didn't receive any comments.
So I received a comment from Mr. Ivan Moore, who lives right in the area, and he was fully supportive.
Great. Here's a few points of analysis. All requirements for subdivisions are met. We're taking access through an existing shared access that meets our requirements. Some pasture will be taken out of production, but natural areas won't be disturbed, including the floodplain. Four dwellings will be located in the quarter with the addition of the dwelling on Lot 2, and there's a number of dwellings in the area, five adjacent, 20 within a mile. And so we recommend alternative one, which is approval of Resolution 18-73, Hilltop Prairie Subdivision, as put forth in subdivision case number 01-18. Questions?
Very clean, very straightforward. Very straightforward. I would say we're all this easy.
So I don't have any questions, and I would make the motion if anybody else did.
Yeah, make the motion.
I think
I move to serve.
Public comment.
No.
Well, we can have public comment. Is there somebody who'd like to address us before we take action?
I guess we've heard from them.
We just had it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Move consideration resolution 1873 Hilltop Prairie Residential Parcel Subdivision as presented.
I would second.
Motion and second. Further discussion?
None.
Cheney?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Hilltop Subdivision or Hilltop Prairie passes.
Thank you.
Great job. Thank you for your work. Discussion consideration of county support of the Ames branch of the NAACP after notice. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. At that time, we decided as a group that we would send out notification to all our employees that we were considering this, see how many employees would express interest in doing it, that we would check with legal counsel and see if, in fact, it was an appropriate use of county funding. So I can report back that it is an acceptable use of funding. I can also report back that I only heard from one county official, in this case, one of our elected officials, who indicated that they would use one ticket if, in fact, we purchased it. I'll tell you guys that I've gone ahead and secured a ticket for myself in another method, so I won't be using it, and now it's up to the board where we go.
Kind of disappointed, I guess, frankly.
I expected more.
I did, too. I would have thought there, once the notice had gone out, they would have taken us up on this one, because I was looking for use to go to a yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, dates always make a difference, you know, let people have other things to do, et cetera. So as I left last week's conversation, I'd understood that, you know, we would look at this if, in fact, we had employee interest and that we could justify that, and combined with apparently what the attorney's office says, that saying, okay, this is something that staff felt could provide information and learning. Not having a response doesn't really leave us in a position, I think, to justify spending $1,000.
I agree. I think that we went to the trouble to find out whether we had the legal authority to expend the dollars. We do, but I think it was dependent upon the desire to put some use versus the dollars. There is none. It leaves it on us as individuals, both in our elected positions and as citizens of the county. If you wish to attend this, it will come at your cost.
Okay, so two choices. If that's the way we're headed, either somebody can move approval and we can vote it down, or there's no motion and it dies. Your choice.
I just assume let it die. The record will reflect that we did what we had to do to get to an informed decision. There's nothing to move here. I would let it die.
Okay.
You're good. I agree.
All right, so we'll move on. No departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to address anything you'd like. Brenda, you want to go a second time for the day? Oh, you're good. Is there anybody else who'd like to address us on anything? We've got to stall here. We're going to get out of here too early okay, seeing no one moving the microphone. Loris, you promised us that if you ever had time, you had a long list of things you wanted to share with us. You have time.
I have time. Okay, so the Housing Coordination Board of Story County has been meeting for several years, and we have had staff representative on that for the entire time. The last meeting, they have decided to meld into the Two Rivers Coalition, which is a coalition that's been formed to offer more coordinated intake for, specifically, it started with YFS, the Emergency Residence Project, and Access for our clients that needed housing. So there will be monthly meetings. Our community staff, I believe Deb, correct, will continue to attend. Our representatives, I'll attend as able, with an emphasis on getting feedback on housing needs. Okay, but all right. So Herta had a special meeting a week or so ago. We met by phone, and we have reached a settlement with Boone Transportation, and therefore we are now Herta as a board, of which we are one of the members of this, the seven counties that sit on the board. Now Herta has settled. There is no more financial obligation that we would be picking up for Boone Transportation, and Herta is now moving forward. Now all the bus repairs, though, are still ours, and some of them are unknown right now, we know that we're picking that up from delayed maintenance. Update on HRDA and the Nevada routes. Starting in December, HRDA began offering more frequent trips between Nevada and Ames. So there is a trip almost every hour, Monday through Friday, between about 8 o'clock and 5 p.m. Already feedback has been positive on that. The other thing they have done is they're starting to make some runs a few days a week in Nevada itself. So a Nevada resident can call and be picked up to be taken to Fairway in Nevada or to the pharmacy or to out to Story County Medical, et cetera, reliant upon knowing that there are certain days where there is actually a shuttle running around in Nevada as opposed to having to tag on to maybe another trip. So it's positive. It's moving in the right direction. It's slow. It started in December because of the holidays. Now that they'll look at starting to promote it. Okay. So, of course, we know about the funding recommendations from the asset volunteers that they were dispersed last week. They'll be coming to us. And again, just one more reminder, the Ames Assessor Conference Board, two of us need to show up. I'll be
about three of us are going to show up.
Are we?
Are you coming, Marty?
I'm on the fence, but it is what it is. It's a nice civics lesson, so I might just join you. I don't know if I'll join you.
I'll be there for sure, Laura.
And please remember, it's 5:30 instead of 6.
I saw you change that on.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. We'll be done, we assume, by 6 o'clock.
Oh, it should be straightforward.
Yeah. And any comments, I already brought that up. So actually, my list is shorter.
It's a long list.
Okay.
Yeah. Marty.
Budgets. We just got on a wrap up. We just did everybody's budget, and I'd say we find ourselves in a pretty good place. Lisa Markley will come to us next week and let us know, in fact, how we did. I guess we did. We took in, and this is kind of an interesting topic over on this side of the county. The DOT extended us a meeting to meet with the board to talk about what's going to happen between Highway 30 and 580th, which then in turn leads into what moves toward east. So when we have the opportunity to know more, we will share more.
Yeah, so we do know a little more at this point, Marty, and the more we know is Scott Dockstetter, who directs our local DOT, has reached out and asked for me to come meet with him and then set a time for him to come meet with the whole board to discuss the letter that we sent with the questions and what their proposed resolution will be. I don't know what that is, but I would. I told him I wanted to get through budget conversation, and I'd be happy to come sit down with him. So I would expect in the next week or so, I'll go sit down with him, and then we'll get him on a Tuesday agenda as soon as we can after that to try to see where we are in this.
There is a great deal of interest over here in regards to that conversation, so the sooner the better, so I appreciate that. Also, having a conversation with Keith Morgan and the Board of Health in regards to the flu epidemic that we're experiencing, the fact that even if you did get a flu shot, what is now taking flight, you have two strains that are your flu shot marginally addresses, and you can't wash your hands enough. After that, we are just returning to our normal day-to-day duties. I will be wandering the county with Brenda Dreyer. I had the conversation with Scott from Fox Engineer here a moment. Here we're going to be talking about the COLO housing, and we'll go from there. So we just, after taking the budget component out of our existence, we go back to a more normal.
More normal. Absolutely.
More normal.
I think the budgeting process has gone really, really well. Of course, I hope you'd echo that. It was a great opportunity for us to have full conversation. And really, if you believe like me that if you want to know what the priorities of any organization truly are, take a look at their budget. It gives us a chance to really weigh in on what our priorities are. And I thought it was great conversations. Now we get to see, I keep telling people, building the budget for the county is kind of like building one room of the house in separate locations, and then at some point you've got to bring every room and try to put them together and see how they all fit. Well, that's we built all the rooms, now we got to bring it all together, see how it fits together, see what modifications, if any, we need to make. But like Marty, I feel really, really good at where that conversation is going to start. I do need to note that I received a letter from the United Way encouraging Story County to acknowledge with gratitude Treasurer Renee Tweet's involvement for them in Nevada, specifically with Story County. They did, in fact, meet their fundraising goal once again. And so please consider this acknowledgement of all the great work that Treasurer Tweet does, but in this specific case, dealing with United Way.
Yeah.
With that, if we have nothing further, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor at 10:44, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Voting duty.